Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the blessing of this day. We thank you for your word of truth. And we pray that by your Holy Spirit's power and enabling that you would give us in our hearts today worship and fruitful living in our lives for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to draw your attention to three things in our passage here this morning. I want you to notice three things. Firstly, notice the grace here of generosity. Secondly, we'll see here the picture of the gospel. And lastly, we see here the purpose of all things. So firstly then, this grace of generosity. So I'm going to read again from verse 1. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a sincere test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urge Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love is also genuine. So firstly, we see here this act of generosity, this grace of generosity. Giving and money is not something that at Westview we try to highlight often. If you've been with us for some time, or even a little time, you've probably noticed that. In our history, we've not wanted to do that, and we seek to actually steer clear from focusing on money here. We put our giving box on the back table. We don't pass around an offering because we've seen things that have put us off. And we don't want to put others off. We don't want others to misunderstand and so affect the gospel. That's our aim in that. But we must also always guard ourselves from going too far, right? They say when false teaching appears, often the response can be that we go so far in the other direction that we end up at falsehood there too. And that can be true. We don't want to do that. We don't want to run so far away that we miss the truth. The health, wealth, and prosperity gospel that you may have heard, which is no gospel at all, Paul would say, is alive and healthy today. Pun intended. It's active and it's deadly to the soul. Come to Jesus and you will be wealthy, healthy, and rich. Come to Jesus and your life will be abundant with every desire of the world and the flesh. This is not the gospel. That is not the truth. That is a lie from the evil one himself. We don't even have to read the whole New Testament, do we? But even just this letter that we're going through of 2 Corinthians to see the truth of the gospel, that suffering, that pain, that difficulty comes with the joy of following Christ. Take up your cross and follow me, our Lord will say. Count the cost. Even this week we read in our reading in Matthew, foxes have holes, Jesus said, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. You want to follow me? And Jesus will tell us to leap for joy. We're told to count it all joy, and that he is working it all together for our good. But we certainly do not walk an easy road. The Apostle Paul is the prime example of this after, of course, our Lord Jesus. In this very letter itself, Paul tells us, doesn't he, that he was whipped by his own fellow Jews. He was beaten with rods. He was stoned with rocks for the gospel. 3 times he was shipwrecked, a night and a day he was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys and in danger all around and on every side, sleepless nights, hunger and thirst, in cold and exposure. Paul's life was a life of toil and hardship for following his Saviour Jesus. Remember that. And of course, in this same letter are those famous words after Paul's request, remember, for God to take away that thorn in the flesh that he was given, that God had given to him, his loving Saviour. But he said to me, Paul said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Therefore, Paul says, "I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ," he says, "then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." The strength of Christ comes in weakness, brothers and sisters. And we see this destroy, don't we? We see this totally annihilate the idea of the prosperity gospel. I don't actually know how you get there when you read the New Testament. But then there is a truth here that we must not miss, right? There is something that we must not throw the baby out with the bathwater, we'd say. We must not miss it because we are uncomfortable talking about money. And that is that the transforming power of the gospel, that the transforming work of the Spirit of God in the lives of his people, that this transformation, this gospel message, brings about generosity in the hearts of the people of God. Generosity flows out of this, of course, not just monetary generosity. Paul here wants us to see, he wants the Corinthians to see, the gospel transforms believers in every way. And so these Macedonian Christians that he speaks of here, they're the prime example of what this looks like, aren't they, for us? Severe affliction, and yet their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty, he says, have overflowed in a wealth of generosity. The strength of Christ shines through in their weakness, doesn't it? We're told here that they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to Paul and his companions. Why? Why did they do that? Why did these Macedonian believers live in the way they lived? Well, this takes us into our second point that I want to bring to your attention here, and that is the picture we see here of the gospel. The picture here we see of the gospel. Have a look at me again from verse 9. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. And in this matter I give my judgment, this benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. So now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack." Verse 9 again. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." These Macedonian Christians understood, didn't they, the beauty of this gospel. They understood the grace of God in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus, Paul reminds us elsewhere, gave up more than we can imagine. He speaks of it here, but in Philippians he tells us, he pans this out. "Have this in mind among yourselves," he says, "which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on cross. This truth is almost too hard, it's too incredible to comprehend. The Son of God, the very radiance of the glory of God Himself, the exact imprint of His nature, the Son of God who upholds the universe by the word of His power, He laid down His glory and took on humanity for our sake. Have you taken that in? Jesus the Son did not hold on to that which was His, the glory that belonged to Him from all eternity. He who is rich beyond our wildest imagination. The wealth of all glory belongs to Him. Remember the reason God made all things? For Him. All things were made through Him and for Him. He, for our sakes, became poor so that we might, by His poverty, become rich. These are just incredible words. The Macedonians understood this. They understood the true riches of the glory of Christ. And their response of generosity in light of their affliction and their extreme poverty revealed that this was the case, didn't it? It showed that they got the gospel. That is what Paul is talking about here. It's not about money. It's not about being wealthy. It's about the glory of Christ, the grace of God that has been given to us in Christ. Forgiveness, reconciliation to God, made sons and daughters of the King of Kings. This truth taken into the soul is what produces generosity that honors God. I wonder, have you understood? Have you taken in? Have you been transformed? Are you being transformed by this gospel as the Macedonians were? Are we? Is this grace of God, this love of God for you in Jesus, taking hold of your entire life to the core of who you are? That's what this is about. And so yes, our money, of course, but not only our money, our time, our energy, our gifts, our worship, our joy, our self-control, our delight, everything we have given over in response to God in His lavish love for us in Christ. Friends, brothers and sisters, if we truly understand the grace of God, it will overflow in every single area of our lives. It has to. It must. The Spirit of God will have the Bride of God pure for the Son of God, His truth giving birth to worship and fruitful living for His glory. And this brings us to the last thing I want to draw to your attention here. The purpose here of all things. Just that small phrase. The purpose here of all things. Have a look at me from verse 16. But thanks be to God, who put into the heart of Titus the same earnest care I had for you. For he not only accepted our appeal, but being himself very earnest, he is going to you of his own accord. With him we are sending the brother who is famous among all the churches for his preaching of the gospel. And not only that, but he has been appointed by the churches to travel with us as we carry out this act of grace that is being ministered by us for the glory of the Lord Himself and to show our goodwill. We take this course so that no one should blame us about this generous gift that is being administered by us, for we aim at what is honourable not only in the Lord's sight but also in the sight of man. And with them we are sending our brother, whom we have often tested and found earnest in many matters, but who is now more earnest than ever because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker for your benefit. And as for our brothers, they are messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ. So give proof before the churches of your love and of our boasting about you to these men. Notice here lastly the purpose of all things. Paul says in verse 19, he has been appointed by the churches to travel with us as we carry out this act of grace that is being ministered by us for the glory of the Lord Himself. Tony helped lead us through a process 3 years ago now as a church where we affirmed actually on this day at our church anniversary our purpose, our mission, our values, our vision. We have them up there if you want to read them. We looked at the scriptures, we prayed together, and we considered these questions together as a church. And we said our purpose is to bring glory to God as a community of faith here in Western Sydney. To bring glory to God. That is our purpose. For the glory of the Lord himself, as Paul says here. For the glory of the Lord himself. The church is the glory of Christ. The bride of Christ. And we, the church, are by his grace alone heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him, as Romans 8 tells us. I want you to listen to this incredible truth here that came from the lips of Jesus our King just before his death in his prayer to the Father. He says this, speaking of us, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Listen to this. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them. That they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. Again, here, truths that go beyond comprehension. Christ has bought us with his blood to share in his glory. It's just incredible. This chapter in 2 Corinthians is a beautiful chapter of scripture, and I felt very fitting for this morning, is why we kept going through. It is a chapter that challenges us to allow the gospel, the grace of God in Christ Jesus, to take hold of our entire lives, to transform us, to conform us to the image of the Son of God, so that our generosity toward one another is not coerced, it's not forced, it's not manipulated, but rather that our lives, our very core of who we are, pour out, they overflow with the grace of God to others that we have been shown ourselves through Jesus. Jesus who put his riches aside for us so that we could share in them. Friends, brothers and sisters, the truth be told, where I think about examples of grace and generosity, when I think about examples of those who have taken hold of the gospel, those who the Lord has taken hold of, I cannot go past Tony and Wendy. This couple, by the grace of God, have understood what the Macedonians understood. They have given, and they are giving themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us, his church, here and abroad. I know this because I have experienced it for the last 10 years of my life, and many of you here have experienced it for much longer. They have not only shared with us the gospel of God, but their lives as well, because we are dear to them and they are dear to us. I do not want to disclose all the details of their generosity. It is for the glory of the Lord, and he knows. But their generosity has been an avalanche of ways to Sooner and I. Time and money, energy and patience, love and care, support and encouragement. The truth that they can tell you is what Mark referred to earlier. The same truth the Apostle Paul would tell you if you tried to say this to him. It is the grace of God that has worked in and through them. He has transformed them, and so they overflow with his love to us. And so we want to honor you today in the presence of the Lord and his church, because your family have honored us and you have honored the Lord. There is a beautiful truth here in this phrase, the churches, the glory of Christ. Now, it may be talking about the workers here as the glory of Christ. I think it's talking about the church more broadly. But either way, there's a truth here of the scripture that the church is the glory of Christ, the bride of Christ. God has given us to share in his glory through his Son, the Lord Jesus, who laid down his glory so that we could share in it. Tony and Wendy have sensed with us this call of God to be sent out from us, to be generous beyond Westview with the gifts the Lord has given to them, to serve his church all over this state, and who knows where in the future. We have been blessed to see God use them in three churches, particularly with Blacktown Baptist, as it's been mentioned, St. Mary's, and Glenbrook, just finishing now. But also with many more churches behind the scenes, Mark has mentioned some. And we are reminded, as we may feel we've lost them at times, that we partner with them in the gospel together. And so we thank God for them. And we continue to walk with them in this journey of faith, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, knowing that in the times of their absence from us, that they are carrying on with us the work of Christ for the glory of his kingdom. And so again, we stand with them together in Christ, even if for a time physically apart. And so may all honor, praise, glory, and power be to our God, who is at work in them and in us for his glory. Let me pray. Father, there's many emotions today. Probably the greatest is joy and thanksgiving. But Lord, we love these guys. And it pains us not to see them as much as we used to. But it is for your glory. It is for your kingdom. It is for your church and your name. Thank you for what you're doing through them. And thank you, Father, above all things, that you sent your Son, who laid aside, who put aside his glory to make us rich in glory. So that even now, Lord, with battered bodies, with suffering, even persecution, we can look through and see your hand, that your grace is sufficient in our weakness, that your power is made perfect. Father, that all these things are preparing for us a weight of glory that far exceeds them all, as we look to the things that are not seen, but are unseen. As Father, we continue to partner together in the gospel, looking to Jesus, in whose name we pray and thank you. Amen. This meal is a meal that Tony has shared with us literally hundreds of times. I was calculating, and you know, you can't calculate perfectly, but it's well over 500 at least, maybe close to 1,000, depending on how much you put yourself on. I don't know. He's shared this meal thousands of times with us. I remember quite a few of them. And he has, by God's grace, reminded us of the truth here that saves us, the truth that saves him and Wendy and his girls. The truth that Paul records in his first letter to the Corinthians when he says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'"